You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. Mick Jagger. Yeah. Joining me, Michael Musselman. Gunner, what's up?
What's going on?
Nothing.
What are you doing?
I don't know. 72 years ago today, Marines go ashore on Iwo Jima. Was playing some of the live audio from that, which is pretty crazy to listen to.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a, you know, it's a big day, you know, if you're a Marine, because you know what I mean?
Why? It's a big day every day this year, every year.
Okay. All right. So if I think it's a big day,
I think it was probably the biggest day they actually did it. And so it's a day to remember.
Whatever. What did you tell? Hold on. Let me read a text from Mike, and then he comes on and does the exact thing that he said. He said, "Hey, I'm in a good mood. Don't bring me down today." And then what does he come on the
program? Yeah, he just did by doing that.
What does he come
on
the program? He comes on the program and he says, "What are you up to?" And I said, 72nd anniversary of the landing on Iwo Jima. So, why is that a good day? Yeah.
No, you call me a racist. That's how it started, because I have my ringtone is Land of Dixie. You know, Dixieland.
Yeah, that
the land of cotton. All times, I forgot. Look away, Dixieland. Yeah, and you have to tell me this whole.
I said, be careful with that. You're going to get stuck as a racist. Yes.
And the great Santini, which was a character played by Robert Duvall, he said that in the movie that was a loser song.
Yeah, he likes winter song. Right. Battle Hymn of the Republic. My eyes have seen the glory of, and they go down and they're driving down the road from Buford, with the whole family, the kids and wife singing Dixie, and Robert Duvall, the great Santini, singing the Battle Hymn of the Republic.
Yeah, I know. And he has to be a dick about it too. His family's singing Dixie. He's playing Battle Hymn Republic, you know, and it's like,
he was the great Santini. He was a fighter pilot. He was a fighter pilot.
All fighter pilots are not jackass.
Narcissistic a little bit.
Wait. Don't go down that road. I have never met a fighter pilot that has not been a narcissist.
Hello. Yeah. You could tell.
Don't start spreading that rumor that they're not narcissistic.
Exactly. They, every single one of them. Okay?
And think about it. What Marine have you ever met that wasn't a narcissist? To some degree. Huh?
Yeah, you put that music on and you'll just see him freeze. And you'll see him look.
Yeah, they know that song by heart. And each one of them have it. They may have it under a different name in their iTunes folder, but they got it.
They got it. Yeah, they'll hear that music and go, "I didn't know I was on." Like, yeah, you're on.
Oh, yeah. Well, look at this. This randomly came up.
But you're right.
And if you get their phone from them and then go to their iTunes folder and look at most played, and I guarantee a fighter pilot will have that song, like with five stars a heart by it, and then the most played song out of their whole catalog.
Oh, my God. I wish we were joking. And you say, "Why do you play this so much?" "Oh, I play when I PT. It motivates me." Oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah. Or when I play shirts and skins in volleyball against all men.
Not not that there's anything wrong with being gay or anything like that, but that's a little shaky there. So tell me about your weekend. So first of all, what are you fired up about today?
Well, today, my friend, so we had a meeting last week with the Marine Corps Junior ROTC here and how we can get them, you know, sponsorship and do all this stuff and get some stuff done, because the Marine Corps ROTC here in Granbury is comprised of about 130 some students.
Wow.
It's run just like every other one. Right. You know, there's a retired Lieutenant Colonel Scott Casey, who used to be in a cannon copter with the Marine Corps, just retired about 7 years ago. We know mutual friend. And he's a big fan of our favorite cannon copter, Mr. Big Mike there.
Oh my God. So, please. Yeah, that's the last thing we need to let out of the bag. So Scott Casey, retired colonel?
Yeah, retired lieutenant colonel. But he's done a tremendous job with these students. And so what happened was he does a competition. He runs the air rifle program within the high schools. They used to do small bore 22, but you know, guns are evil.
Yeah.
Things have changed. So now they do is small bore in school.
What does that mean? What does small bore mean? Is that pellet guns?
Small bore, so pellet guns, right. Air rifle.
Okay.
Olympic type air rifles. These are not cheap air rifles. These are $4,000, $5,000 guns.
And that's what we see in the that's what we see in the biathlon. I think they ran it last.
Yeah,
night,
same right? Same type of gun.
Okay. All
right. They use 22, I think, in the biathlon. Yeah, they use 22 in the Olympics. Small bore.
All right.
But what he's done is it's such a great program. There's 11 kids on the shooting team. 10 of them are girls, and one's a guy. And they just went to.
Wait a minute. Wait. Like, what's up with that? Why? Where are the guys?
I don't know.
It's Texas for God's
sake. It's switching, Matt. It's switching.
What does that mean?
Times are changing. Women are dominating that sport.
Wow. All right, keep going.
So, they just were at the Marine Corps Championships in, the Marine Corps sponsors, you know, all the junior ROTCs that are Marine related, I guess, to Alabama. So all the major schools that, you know, that have earned the right to be there. This is not just an open invitation. This is the top school in the state.
Okay.
Go there and compete. And Granbury High School just took number one.
In the state of Texas?
No, in the nation.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Wow.
And three of the girls just earned their distinguished marksmanship badge.
You love that. You love it. You could tell why he's all on Twitter this morning. Let's talk about this. So where did they shoot?
In Anniston, Alabama.
Wow.
That's where they hold the championship. And so the Marine Corps hosted it. They won. They took number one in the nation. So they are the winners.
That's the United States. How awesome is that? That's awesome.
Three of the girls, like I said, three of the girls won the Distinguished Marksman Badge. So that is equivalent to being basically an All-American in that sport. And that in itself is awesome.
Okay, did you have anything to do with teaching them how to shoot?
No.
Nope.
I talked to them a little bit about the other stuff, leadership stuff and, you know, other stuff, but that's all Scott Casey and they're doing. So, I don't shoot that. That's competition shooting like that. That's kind of foreign to me. I'm more of a three gun shooter where it's more combative type shooting. But
okay.
So on the phone today, on the phone.
Hold on. Do they have a range at the school?
Yeah, they actually, the high school built them an indoor, rifle range. With targets and everything. Computers. It's state of the art, man. It's incredible. They got their own cash. I'll take the photographs. They got their own cash sales in there with all the uniforms. It's state of the art, man. I'm going to take pictures of this and you're going to send it to you. You're going to be like, this is better than what we got at Camp Pendleton.
So they wear our uniforms, yes?
Yeah, they wear the Marf hat. They wear the blues. They wear the Charlies.
Do they wear?
And you couldn't tell the difference, Mac.
Do they wear our greens or our green utilities and
yeah they wear their they wear everything.
Okay, so let me ask you a question. What did you just throw all your old uniforms out? What did you do with all your old stuff?
Oh, I still got them.
Yeah, Mike, I have boxes of uniforms that if I boxed them up, would they? I mean, they can have them for free. They don't.
No. The Marine Corps. TCOM actually pays for their uniforms, gives them money every year to buy new uniforms.
Wow.
Because they're sponsored under the Marine Corps Junior RTC program.
They'll be disappointed. They'll be disappointed when they come on active duty and have to pay for their shit.
A lot of them don't go on active duty, Mac. A lot of them get scholarships to universities and then go on to do bigger and better things.
Wow. Well, that's cool. We got no issue with that.
It instills the confidence, right? You know, the honor, commitment. They're great citizens. They're great kids. They do everything in their power to, you know, give back to the society and the community. They're just good kids. You know, with that Marine Corps type of ethos instilled into them at an early age.
Now, you know, we talked about this before, but, you know, you have, in our society, you have less and less structure, less and less emphasis on discipline, and kids need that. You know, Mike and I have talked about it. Marines need it, and they don't always get it in the Marine Corps after they get out of boot camp. You know, and when you don't have that, you know, you don't a lot of times get set up for success, and it's frustrating. And so that's awesome. So how many young people are in the program, like, in Granbury?
About 100, over 100, 130, I think. But there's only 11 on the rifle team.
And how big a city is Granbury?
We're about 7,500
people. 7,500
people.
Wow. Wow, that's awesome. That's awesome.
So I was on the phone today.
Yeah?
On the phone today, and so contacted the representative for our county, our state representative, and they're going to do you know, from the state of Texas, a proclamation, you know, for them, for the state of Texas, honoring them. We got the city involved now. They're going to do one. And we're getting the city behind these guys. That's our big push right now. A lot of people in the city don't know what these kids are doing, don't know, you know, that they're on the national, you know, champions of, you know, in this kind of sport. And it kind of frustrates me because, you know, if it's any one of the other ones, you know, baseball, basketball, football, they would automatically get that recognition. But since, you know, it's not,
right,
it's kind of the backstory. So now we're big push right now to get people, you know, smart with what these girls have accomplished.
That's a big story though. I mean, bottom line is whenever you're I don't care what you, whether it's speech, whether it's, you know, debate,
oh, yeah,
or anything, when you win a national championship in anything, let alone come from a town of 7,500 people, that's huge,
that's
man.
That's a big story.
That's a big story, man. It's a big story.
Yeah, and
that's
we got cool families that actually moved from out of state to get their kids into this program.
Get out
because
of
the recognition.
Come on.
Yeah. I'm dead serious. I've met some of them. I met some of the families. One of the ladies I talked to lived in New Mexico. Her daughter was shooting independently because they didn't have this kind of program in her school. So she was an independent person. And they met at a meet when she was, you know, a freshman. And they got her in here as a senior. And now she's got a scholarship to a university in Kentucky. Doing the same thing.
Wow.
And that's just one goodwill story. But like you said, we got to get this recognition out.
I didn't realize that those were scholarship events. So yeah, no kidding. So it makes sense. And now you're gonna have more people moving to Granbury to go ahead and enroll.
Some of them are going to the Junior Olympics in Colorado to compete.
Do you have anybody that has got to on the national Olympic team? I guess it'd be the national team first.
Yeah, they got to do the Junior Olympics first and then qualify and then try out for the Olympic team.
Hold on.
It's a huge deal.
Email for you. Hey, Mac. First of all, congratulations to the young people of Granbury. Could Gunner walk us through the string of fire that they shoot in this competition?
I just know they shoot three positions, prone, standing, and kneeling. I don't know how many rounds they fire or the scoring system. But the target, Mac, the target is so small. I mean, that bullseye is the size of a pellet. And so, and these, and some of these girls, you know, maxed out their scores.
And what's, and, yeah, a lot of that going on in Granbury. Your wife, Tina, setting the pace for these young ladies. What about, what's the distance they shoot at?
I think it's 10 meters, 30 feet. But the target, the bullseye, the whole target is only, I think, 3 inches by 3 inches. And the bullseye, the X, the center,
right,
is the size of a pellet.
Come on, a pellet?
I'll send you a photograph.
Send me a photograph. I got to see. All right. Yeah. Send me a picture.
It is ridiculous.
Are there iron sights or is there an optic?
It's optic, but it's not. It's a one power optic. It's not a magnified optic. No.
Okay. All right. So there is an optic, but it's a modified iron sight.
Yeah.
No magnification. All right. Now, are you going to get more involved in this, or just helping them promote it?
Just promoting them. So I got a message into the Commandant right now, and, you know, other people to get them direct, you know, get them into the news. This is a good story for the Marine Corps.
Yeah, no, it's, let me tell you, it's the kind of impact that the Marine Corps hopes to have on young people, in a positive way, whether they join the Marine Corps or not. And,
yeah, it's planting that seed. If anything, it's the values and the traits of the Marine Corps believes in being built upon by these young girls, and they take it from the rest of their lives.
And the Marine Corps has been, the JROTC programs across the country, do exactly that. And most of those kids do not become members of the United States military. They go on, as Mike said, to do other things. But the values, you know, courage, honor, commitment.
Stay with them for life. Yeah.
Yeah, stay with you for life. And, you know, and again, I think that stuff's awful important. Another email. Are you ready to say, change subject, or do you want to keep talking about this?
Go ahead. What's this?
The email says this. You guys were talking about school shootings last week, and Mac made a reference to how they train in Israel. I did a little bit of reading. I guess my question for the gunner is, if I was the principal of the school and I hired Mike to train my students, I'm most curious what he would train them to do if they were close to the shooter. Chances are a lot of them are going to get shot and possibly die. It's not appropriate, in my opinion, that they should simply cower and be shot. I think you have to teach those children that are in close proximity to the shooter to do something other than either cower or run and get shot in the back. What are Mike's thoughts? All right, Mike. So let me put you in a situation. Kids are in a classroom. They have their backpack at their feet, right under their desk, and they're sitting in some kind of desk. And dude walks in and begins to shoot. What do you, people that are in close proximity, what do you teach?
Well, let's back up here. And some of the things that I've talked about is, you know, why not have a class or something in there that teaches them awareness? You know, and, you know, to actually, you know, before they even get in the classroom, because students are aware, they see this, they know this is a different type of baseline behavior, and they can notify the school right away.
Okay, I'm with you on that.
To teach them but Mike,
let me tell you, you're not going to find, what else do people have to do other than make a citizen's arrest? Everything that should have been done, you know.
Well, I'm not advocating, we're not teaching students to carry guns.
Right. No, I'm with you. But in terms of awareness, you had two different people contact the FBI. and somehow or other this guy doesn't get yoked up. But that's not the email. The email's about if you're in proximity, what would you teach kids to do in proximity, knowing that you're already past the awareness phase? Now, you're not seven classrooms down. You're not on the floor below in, you know, not near him. You are in the kill zone. What do you teach them? You're in the kill zone of a close ambush.
Then for them to survive in that situation, they're going to have to work together, and it's going to be either in mass, they just all go towards that person. You know, you got 20, 30 people jumping on that person. You know, it's a very tricky situation, Max.
Right.
I mean,
no.
There's not much you can teach.
Right, I agree with you. You know, and sitting here thinking about it, one, throw your desk. Two, throw your backpack. Three, somebody unload the fire extinguisher. I mean, that's what you have near
you. One of the number one selling things right now in the state, in the nation is Kevlar lined backpacks.
I saw that. Is that going to stop around?
Yeah.
Hey, Finn. Mm-hmm. That thin layer of Kevlar, I kind of, with no plate in it?
Well, you'd have to have a plate for a high-powered rifle.
Right, okay. So we got to get our kids sappy plates with their backpack. Okay, here's your backpack. Here's your sappy plate. Don't forget it. What the hell?
But, I mean, it all ties together. So before you get to that point, our laws have to be enforced. We got to stop these small interest groups that support people's, you know, HIPAA laws where they won't release, you know, their records, you know, because it's a privacy thing. We can't let that out because that's a privacy issue. You know, prevent people from actually gaining access to these types of things. So there's a whole lot of things that need to change.
I'm with you. But you know what, Mike, the sad
part.
Not
more gun laws.
Right, I agree with you.
We got enough gun laws on the books. How about enforcing them?
But again, we've gone through this time after time. The people
sharing information between departments.
The people that are killing people with guns, if they'll get a gun, whether it's on the black market, whether it's a ghost
or
gun,
Mac, just get away from guns. They're going to get something,
right?
An axe, a machete. You know, they're going to do something. They're going to find something.
Right. Right. And so to me, look, if there's ways to, you know, there, you know, whatever loopholes we have in gun background checks, you know, that's fine. But that's only an aspect. The other piece is what Mike's talking about is the mental health piece. Until we get comfortable of taking away people's rights that act crazy and threaten the rest of us, you know, and we're not comfortable doing
then,
that as a
and
nation.
Only then.
Yeah.
We'll be a more secure nation.
Yeah, that's the second piece. And so I don't think that'll happen. I don't think there'll be any kind of gun reform that gets enacted. And so to me, the only thing you're left with is you better harden your school and you better teach your kids what to do to include if they're close to the shooter. You know, I mean, just imagine, I mean, that guy comes in, he starts shooting and everybody throws a desk or their backpack. Maybe somebody hits him, you're lucky, and gives somebody 2 seconds to go and jump on him. You know, it's better than allowing him to roam and shoot and whatnot. So I don't know. But, I mean, it's just like training kids for nuclear attacks, earthquakes, tornadoes. Hey, the most probable thing you're going to see at your school is none of those. It's going to be somebody that walks in and starts shooting people. So what do we do? And then the other thing, Mike, somebody wrote me over the weekend was you know, this whole thing, a fire alarm gets pulled and everybody's emptying out and he starts shooting. The fire alarm has to be a controlled response led by the teachers. People just don't start piling out willy-nilly. You know, you have to – it has to be an orderly movement and controlled. And so and so that's, and again, in light that it might be a ruse to get people to out in the open where somebody could shoot them, which is pathetic that we would have to think like that. But you know what? I thought about it over the weekend. I mean, can you imagine finding out that the tips the FBI got, and your kid's dead, and you have to live with that? I mean, you'd be so bitter forever that, like, what else does somebody have to do if this dumbass doesn't get yoked up? So, anyway. And again, so I asked my daughter, I said, do you know what to do? Have you ever been trained at your school about what you do if somebody starts shooting? She said, no. I said, okay.
Yeah.
So.
And there's programs out there that'll cover that.
Right. Right. And, but again, bottom line is, you know, school districts across the country, if you're going to wait for gun legislation that somebody wants, or if you're going to wait for modification of HIPAA laws, you know, we're a reluctant society to do that. I mean, and the thing that pisses me off about this kind of stuff is your right to your First Amendment doesn't trump my right to the same First Amendment. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I'm supposed to be able to do that without you infringing upon me. And if the exercise of your free rights inhibits mine, then guess whose rights suffer? Not mine. Not the group's. Yours. But it just
the minority.
Yeah, it just seems like, Mike, it's the tyranny of the minority. You have the right to say whatever you want, to do whatever you want, and nobody can say anything. I mean, we used to put people like that in the state sanitarium, for God's sake.
But yeah.
No, we don't do anything cool. Another email. I like the idea of a fire extinguisher. Yeah, you know, again, what do you have at your disposal that you just unleash and, you know, and diminish his capacity for violence? You know?
Yeah.
Another email for you. Mac, I read that the school resource officer did not confront the shooter. There was only one on the premises. In Mike's opinion, is that enough? Mike, one enough at a school?
No.
At a big high school?
No.
No?
No. Come on. I mean, you're paying hundreds of thousands of dollars in taxpayer money to the, you know, to your administrators and your superintendents for what? You know? And how about, you know, it's that whole, if the child's security is first and foremost, then why not act upon it? Why don't you show me how you're going to do that? You know, institute more secure areas. You know, again, it's fascinating to me. It's like, it's just, how do we get to this point?
Another email. Mac, would Mike support concealed carry among teachers in schools?
Yeah, they already do it.
Where? In Texas?
Yeah.
So
teachers can actually go through, it's a different type of class where they can actually get a license to carry as a teacher.
Oh.
And the problem with, not here in Texas, but the problem in other states is most of your teachers are not of that background where they're comfortable with handguns.
Right.
They back this whole banned gun thing. So, I don't know. It's crazy, man.
Yeah, I mean, think about that. I mean, if, so you have a whole
series. They picked that posting a sign up there out front that says gun free zone, and that's it. It stops right there.
Ohio sheriff offers free concealed carry classes to teacher.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, and again, it's a sad day, but, you know, looking to Washington, D.C. for leadership is a fool's errand. And,
yes. Yes, it is.
Here's an email. You've been to Iwo Jima, haven't you?
Yeah.
How many times? Just once or more?
Twice.
Shit. Unbelievable. As, so explain, How do they do trips like that now, Mike? Because I know the Japanese.
I don't know.
Huh?
I wasn't part of a trip. I was there part of an exercise.
Oh, okay. Because the trips, the Japanese don't let you spend the night. You go in the morning. You leave before. You leave at
sundown.
Yeah,
we spent the night.
At whatever.
We spent actually a few days.
So you were part of an amphibious exercise on the island.
Yeah, very small group, but wow. I was lucky enough to get part of that.
Wow. The here's an email. I'm not sure if I would allow or want teachers to carry weapons. I'm having mixed thoughts about that. Attached are some headlines. Here's a few headlines. This one's from the New York Post. Colorado School District will allow teachers to carry guns. Fox News. Teachers packing heat. More educators taking gun training classes. This is from a newspaper in Utah. Utah small business owner offers free concealed carry classes to teachers. Bakersfield. This is in California. Bakersfield District gives okay for teachers to carry guns on campus. Wow. I'm actually surprised. I'm actually surprised that.
But it's Bakersfield. There's not a lot of. Bakersfield, you know, still rural America.
Yeah, it's inland California. And Bakersfield, some of the more, pretty rough towns are in the central part of California. Bakersfield, Visalia, Fresno, I mean, pretty serious crime in those cities. And, but still, you know who runs those school districts, and it's, to me, it's amazing that, in the state of California, that would even be, given the lefties, that would even be considered. The, another email. Hey, Matt, could Mike go over what gets taught in a concealed carry course, the basic curriculum that he teaches? What does get taught, Mike?
Nonviolent resolution, so situational awareness.
Right.
The laws that you have to follow as a license to carry. So, you know, basically posted penal codes of, you know, that it's depending on this business owner, they can post signs that say we do not allow concealed carry or open carry, and then what's your responsibilities? You know, how you go through this. We talked about them before. Talk about when is the right time. You know, we go through a lot of those. Is when you're actually authorized, when you're within your rights to actually, you know, use deadly force. Then we talk about weapon safety and, you know, those type of things.
And how many sessions is it? Is it one day?
It's one day, and the class can't be more than 6 hours, and it can't be less than 4 hours. So mine's about 5 hours, some change. And then after that, we go to the range and we shoot weapons proficiency. You shoot the test.
And what do you have to shoot? What kind of proficiency do you have to show with a weapon that you can do what?
So the scoring is a 5-ring, a 4-ring, and a 3-ring. And it's just basically a silhouette. You get 50 rounds and you shoot at 3, 7, and 15 yards. In different variations, you know, one round, single shots, 2 rounds, 3 rounds, 5 rounds, 10 rounds.
All right. So something that
in a certain time limit.
Right. Something that anybody who is contemplating carrying on a regular basis ought to have the experience to go ahead and pass easily, yes?
Yeah. If they've fired their gun before and they know what they're doing, then yeah, it's not that hard.
Okay. All right. The another email. I wish that there were teachers that carried in every school. I wish it was required to have a weapon in every wing of a building, because I think it would greatly diminish the capacity and also simply the idea that I'm going to go to school and shoot something up. I know it sucks to have to write an email like this, but what is that saying? An armed society is a civil society? I believe
it's a polite society.
I believe that. And these kids go into these schools knowing that nobody's armed. They know where the school resource officer parks himself, and they know they'll have time to do this kind of stupid stuff. Let's take away that time and stop these crazy, crazy events from going on.
Become a hard target.
Right.
That's preventive. You know, for instance, you don't see there's not a lot of reports of people breaking into homes in Texas. You just don't see a lot of it. And a lot of the news that you see when people, there's an involved shooting, some of it involves a licensed person putting down a criminal before they got stupid. You know, criminals will go to places that they know people are not armed, but they know they're not going to have people fighting back. They're going to be easier targets, people with that set in mind. So if you're a student and you've made that decision, you're going to go fire up a school and you're going to go pick a school, you don't go to school that you know that every teacher's got a weapon. You don't go to school that there's more resource officers or security people that are armed.
Right.
You go to an easier target. You go to a place where you know that you're going to be able to get away with what you want to do.
Right. Right, right. And that's, so, again, we can, and people can argue about the HIPAA laws. And again, I've said it ad nauseum on this program, but when you go to that website, 538, and you read the statistical analysis of who's using weapons, 99% of law-abiding Americans use their weapons as they should.
Right?
The biggest problem we have with firearms is suicide. Behind that, it's gangs and drugs, drug violence. Behind that, it's domestic violence. Right? And so you're not going to stop the gangs and domestic violence stuff with gun laws. They're going to get their guns. And so then the next piece is mental health. It'd be huge in impacting suicide. It would be huge in impacting domestic violence. But
well, suicide, they just pick another mean.
Right. 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 But a lot of times, you know, when you make it more difficult, Mike, there's a percentage that wouldn't do it. And a gun is easy.
Yeah.
Right. It's like maybe I'll have to kill him with a knife. And that's pretty different than a gun. And you really have to want to kill somebody if you use a knife. A gun can be easily done, a crime of passion, a crime of impulse. And, it makes easier because there's that standoff range. All you gotta do is pull the trigger. So there's all of that. Interesting.
Hey, Buck told me that he's having problems with the internet. Is it your side?
He said that today?
No, he said that last week.
Last week. Yeah, it must have been my side. But normally when it's me, and it could have been him, but normally when it's me, I'll get a little thing that pops up that says internet bandwidth is low. And he was the only one that said something. So whether it was me or him, I'm not sure. But over the weekend I went around and I rebooted everything just in case it was. Cause you never know. So when you're streaming. So anyway, but I appreciate that. Anything else exciting over the weekend?
No, not really. I mean, just a normal weekend.
Now, I saw today that it was 72 degrees first thing in the morning.
Yeah, it's warm. Oh, my God, it's warm. Yesterday it was freezing.
I thought, is that right? But it is.
Yeah. It's crazy.
So
I don't get it.
When it's 72 that early in the morning, what's it going to be today? Is it going to get into the 90s?
I hope not. God, I hope not. No, it's going to stay. I think it tops out at like 79.
That's but, it? So. It's going to go from 72 to 79 today? Come on.
Yeah. No, 79 is the highest it's supposed to be today.
Wow.
And then it starts dropping again. Well, tomorrow is supposed to be in the, it's supposed to be 70 is the high. And then Wednesday, the high is like 50.
So when does it start warming up? That surprises me. I would think this time of year you guys would be a little bit warmer.
No, it should be still kind of cold. You know, Thursday, 48, Friday back to 60, Saturday, 70, 60, 70, 60, 60, 70. It's just, I don't know. 60s are fine. 70s are okay.
What do you like? If you could dial, it's 1 degree above in Big Timber, Montana right now. So shout out to Montana man up there. Right?
Yeah. I like this. I like 65 to 70.
Get your cows under control, bro. Yeah. Montana man had some cow issues over the weekend. He wound up having to do a 90-minute. He chased two cows that are pregnant that he had to get under lock and key. He chased them for an hour and a half.
Right.
Nice. It's called failure to plan right there. Failure to plan. All right, what else you got for me? Are you fired up? Baseball season's getting going, spring training?
Not yet.
You're not yet? When do you get fired up? Like September?
Yeah, about mid season.
Wow. Wow. I read an article that said that all was not right with the Red Sox last year. In the clubhouse. They had issues, and so they're hoping to get beyond that with their new manager, Joey Cora.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see. Oh, you don't sound too optimistic.
I don't. Like I said, I don't get into it until about mid-season.
You're not fun.
Yeah. They got to start separating themselves, start weeding, get through some of the stuff, and then things start falling in place, and then we're good.
All right. What give me a new food that you're eating.
Let's see. New food that I'm eating?
Yeah, give me something you've eaten recently that you would recommend to the rest of us.
I had prime rib hash on Sunday breakfast for brunch.
Hash? Prime rib? Somebody did that? Somebody did that to a prime rib? What the hell?
Yeah, Christina's, they do that. So it's prime rib chopped up with potatoes and peppers and onions with two eggs on top. Oh, it's so good.
You'd recommend it at Tina's?
Oh, Christina's? Yeah.
Christina?
Ridiculous.
Is that your go-to place in Granbury?
Yeah, that's when I want to eat something remarkable. Oh, I know. So, they made these tiramisu desserts at Christina's.
Right.
You like tiramisu?
I do. Explain to everybody that doesn't know what tiramisu is. Explain to everybody.
It's like a chocolate mousse, but a decadent, very, very well done decadent chocolate mousse. Here, I'm sending you a photograph, and you can describe this for everybody. You got your cell phone by you?
Yes. Are you texting or what?
Yeah, I'm texting it to you.
All right.
So, they made these, and the actual little cups that they come in are chocolate, too. So, everything's edible. And it is out of this world good. I just sent it to you. I don't know if you're taking a little bite right now. Yeah, they're still good. But the whole thing's edible. They don't come in a bowl. They don't come in. The picture is everything you see there can be eaten.
Wow. And the, the thing that would be the cupcake holder, if you will, is what Mike was talking about, chocolate, but it's
like a flower.
Yeah, chocolate in various colors.
Yeah, white chocolate, dark chocolate, and milk chocolate.
Orange chocolate, green chocolate.
But in the shape of a flower.
In the shape of a flower.
And then the tiramisu is put in the center of it with chocolate shavings and everything on top.
On top. Wow.
That's pretty cool looking, huh?
That is pretty cool. Who would think that something like that would be smack in the middle of Granbury, Texas?
Yeah. It is.
Did
you hear that? Did you hear it crack?
Is Christina's the restaurant in Granbury?
Yeah, that's like our best food ever. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It's good.
Are you eating it right now?
Yeah, I can't help myself.
What a loser.
You're just jealous.
Email. You mean to tell me that he couldn't keep track of his cows and he was on foot? Yeah, and if you saw the weather in Montana, you would laugh your ass off about it.
Well, his comment was his wife was out there helping him, right?
Well, he said if you want to get a divorce, ask your wife to dismount when it's 2 degrees above zero in the snow to help chase cows.
Mm-hmm.
That did not go well. But when it's your leadership failure, right, that forces the cow chasing, I think you got to take that on board yourself, yes? Why are you spreading the misery asking your wife to go chase cows with you? Physically,
right.
he was in his truck. He had to dismount and chase the cows. 90 minutes of that. And so, yeah. Yeah, and it's single digits above zero. Come on. If you got a wife that will go do that, send us her picture and a little paragraph about her. We want to know about her. Because let me tell you.
Yeah, she's a super trooper.
that's straight up love. Because there's a lot of people that are in love that would tell you, yeah, ain't doing that.
No, that's unconditional love.
Ain't doing that. Yeah. All right. What else you got going on today?
I'm gonna eat the rest of the tiramisu.
Are you gonna eat both of them?
No, one's Tina's. I won't. She gets so mad at me if I eat that.
She will.
I would do that. She'd be not a happy camper.
All right. So what else you got going on today?
That's about it, man. I got to meet with some people and talk about politics later today.
All right. Well, keep a good attitude.
Mm-hmm.
The only way you change stuff is if you get good guys like Ron elected.
Matt, this is so good. It melts in my mouth.
Why are you making so many noises eating? It's not how you normally eat. You have better manners than that.
I have a mouth closed. What you're hearing is just the cracking of the chocolate in my mouth.
Nice.
Oh, my God, it's so good.
Nice. All right.
It's like heaven. Oh.
Congratulate the shooting team at Granbury.
I will.
At Granbury High School.
I'll forge any stories that are done on it. And
okay.
Then pictures of the, when we get all the stuff done for it.
Got it. Yeah. If there's any links, send them to me, and I'll put them up on the website.
Mm.
I'm done with you. Say goodbye.
Wait, let me finish this bite. Oh yeah. All right.
What a goodbye. Goodbye. There you have it. On a Monday. Yeah, if you're just tuning in, today is the 72nd anniversary of the landing on Iwo Jima. So normally we play Back in the High Life, to close the program, but that's going to change today, at least for today, as a salute to the Marines and sailors who went ashore on that beast of an island and who got it done. So this song dedicated to them for the second time today. Well done, boys and girls. Nice work. On a Monday, All Marine Radio, over and out.